You have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the 16th chapter of Acts, and we're going to consider the delivering power of praise and thanksgiving unto God. The delivering power. In Acts the 16th chapter, verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain young lady possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. It sounds good, but something's not right. And this did she for many days, but Paul being grieved, where was he grieved? In his spirit, inside of Paul. Paul realized that what she was saying sounded right, but things were not right. And that's where we must have discernment in the world in which we live. So many things sound right on, but you have to go by that inward witness of the Spirit. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, not to the woman, but to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out of her the same hour. I'm here to tell you tonight that there were devils in the days of Jesus. There were devils after Jesus ascended back to heaven, and there are devils in the world today. Well, her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone. They caught Paul and Silas. They drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. And the word of God said, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. That's been Satan's lie for a long, long time. If we could get rid of churches and preachers and gospel and all this evangelical stuff, our nation would enter a new utopia. I tell you that it's God-fearing men and women who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and who stand on the Word of God as the compass and the guide for their life that are still the hope of the United States of America. Well, they said, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. It's not believers that are troubling our city. It's sin that's troubling our city. It's not believers that are troubling Washington. It is sin that is troubling Washington. It's not a lot of things that a lot of people think, but it's sin. Sin. You don't have to have a spin when you have Jesus. When you're full of sin, you have to have a spin, and then you have to have lawyers to help you spin the spin. But they said, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. We're an enlightened new age here. We don't agree with what these men teach and preach. That's for the old days. That's for an era gone by. And the multitude rose up together, because you can always stir up the wrong folks. Not hard to stir up the wrong folks. And the multitude rose up together against them. You know what they did? They had a revival against righteousness. We're talking about revival. Here's a revival of unrighteousness. Here's a revival of persecution. Here's a revival of going back to the way things used to be. And they haven't had a cause for a long time. Now we have some Christians who have cast out this devil. And so we're having a revival of unrighteousness. A little bit different way of looking at it. And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. It's amazing how the world just goes berserk at a child of God. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. I mean, this is maximum prison. And made their feet fast in the stocks. And I love the 16th chapter of Acts, verse 25. It works any hour of the 24 hours of the day. It works on the high seas. It works on the mountaintop. It works in church. It works on the way home from wherever you work. It works on the freeways. But here it said, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. I tell you, this is a beautiful, beautiful insight into what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. The power of the gospel tonight, you've already heard it in testimony, is able to open all doors that are closed and to loosen everyone's bands who are bound in this place tonight. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. And if the prisoners are gone, his life is gone. And so the man's life is in jeopardy as far as he's concerned. But Paul cried with a loud voice. And again, here is one of those little capsules of the gospel. Do thyself no harm. Every time a New Testament born-again believer, spirit-filled believer, preaching, teaching, exhorting, testifying, whatever they may do. You know what our message always is? Do thyself no harm. Do thyself no harm. Don't hurt yourself. Stop hurting yourself. There's a better way to live. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. And then he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Last Sunday morning's message, God quickened three things to my understanding. God made three things so real. It just came to me. And I shared them in the teaching of Sunday school before the morning worship service. And I gave it a little, just a few moments in the morning worship service. And I can't get away from it. I love truth that preaches to me before I preach, while I preach, and after I preach. Because you see, many people do not understand the value of praising and giving thanksgiving unto God. I know technically there are differences, but I tell you basically they're Siamese twins. I tell you that praise and thanksgiving, I don't know where one stops and the other begins. I just know it's good. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. The Bible said, give thanks unto Him, be thankful unto Him. I just know that praise and thanksgiving just opens that gigantic warehouse door of heaven and pours out upon us God's greatness and His power. Now, the first thing that praise and thanksgiving does, it sets us free and it keeps us free. This world system had bound Paul and Silas. They were in prison for doing the right thing, not for doing the wrong thing. They were incarcerated because they set a young woman free who was demon-possessed and making a living for her masters with fortune-telling. And Paul spoke the words, and that spirit had to go. The Bible said the spirit went in that hour. I don't know if it took 60 minutes, 40 minutes, 30 minutes, but within an hour's period of time, all demonic power was broken and it was gone. Oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Happy day, when demonic powers are broken and Jesus becomes the Lord of our life. You know, when Paul and Silas were in jail, they had a decision to make. Every day I have a decision to make. Every day you have decisions to make. We can either be overwhelmed by circumstances or overwhelm circumstances by praise and thanksgiving unto God. We can either get out our laundry list of what's happened to me and bemoan this and tell everybody our sad story. I mean, some folks, they ought to just walk up and say, number 13, yeah, I remember that. You've been telling me that for the last 13 weeks. Same song, second verse. When you see them coming, you know exactly what the story is going to be. So just don't bother with all the words. Just call it number 10 or 12 or 7 or number 6. Just like some of the comedians do in their conventions sometime. But you know what Paul and Silas said? You know, we can't help what's happened to us. But from this moment forward, we can do what God said to do. They did not cast out that devil saying, oh God, please lock us up in prison. They did not approach this young woman who was demon-possessed and able through the power of the evil one to tell fortunes. They didn't say, Lord, we're going to cast out this devil and we thank you, Lord, for putting us in prison. They just saw a need and they met it. And this world system locked them up. This world system put them into bondage. This world system put them in the inner prison, and not only did they put them in the inner prison, but their bodies were held in place that they could not move. So here they are. They cast out this fortune-telling devil. They're cast into prison. It's obvious that they're not going anywhere for a while. And I believe Paul looked at Silas, and Silas looked at Paul, and they said, well, being as we're not going anywhere for a while, we might as well just praise the Lord. We're just going to praise God. We're going to sing songs unto God. We're going to give thanksgiving unto God. And I think tonight's a good night to remember to give praise and thanksgiving unto God. It's always in divine order to give praise and thanksgiving unto God. I had a phone call yesterday from a minister up in Wisconsin, and he asked me to call him, and someone had referred him to me, and we talked about some things in the ministry, and he said, I must talk to you about revival. I understand you've had some revival experiences. I said, a few. Amen. And you know what? That church, about three or four months ago, they're having revival on Friday night, Friday and Sunday nights. It's just amazing. People are doing it all different ways on Friday night. And he said, you know what? We just began to praise the Lord. And we just began to magnify God. And we just began to glorify God. And he said, revival broke out. And I said, who's your evangelist, brother? He said, I am. And he said, so far they're putting up with it. And he said, every week we're seeing people come to Jesus. He said, I'm having to dig and dig to stay on top of this, because he said it's a different level of preaching and teaching and ministry and exhortation. But he said, pastor, every week, and he said again, we had people on the altar. He said, we have several of the Green Bay Packer football players that are coming to the services. And he said, God is doing a wonderful thing. He said, they're so turned on to God. Oh, he said, all we began to do was just begin to praise the Lord. And we began to magnify God. Let me tell you, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. The answer to the difficult is in the simple. The answer to the complex is in the simple. It still pays to praise the Lord. It still pays to magnify the name of God. Praise be unto God. He said, we just begin to praise the Lord. We just begin to be a thankful church. We just begin to magnify the name of the Lord. And he said, the Holy Ghost began to show up. And he said, nothing extra special as far as outside things are happening. He said, I'm just preaching. And he said, we're having a time and seeing people come to Jesus. Oh, tonight, maybe you're free as a bird. Thank God for that. Maybe you could identify with Paul and Silas. You did the right thing, and now it seems like the worst has happened. You know, sometimes you do the right thing and all the angels show up and it just seems like God just showers blessings upon you. And then there's times you do the right thing and it seems like the bottom drops out. But don't worry, underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. It's never right to do wrong. It's never wrong to do right. You do what's right and God will see you through. And it's always right to praise the Lord. It's always right to give thanksgiving unto God. I'm telling you, especially when your life has been in a mess and in a pit, you of all people need to praise God. Morning, noon, and night. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Offer praise and thanksgiving unto God. Thank God for a sound mind. Thank God for a healthy body. Thank God for friends. Thank God for food to eat. Thank God. Thank God. So, praise sets us free and keeps us free. Write that down. Sets us free and keeps us free. One moment, Paul and Silas are bound. And the next moment, something begins to happen. A whole lot of shaking's going on. The jail begins to shake so violently that they were set free. Think about it. Hey, folks, this is not a good story. It was a good story for Paul and Silas, but this is not just a story. This is real life truth. One moment, these men were bound, singing and praising God, and the next moment, their hands are free and their feet are free, and the jail doors are open, and everyone's crying out, what's going on? Praise sets you free and keeps you free. That's the problem. A lot of people have been set free, but they don't stay free. They get free and then they go back to the pit. When God sets you free, stay free. When God pulls you out of the pit, stay out of the pit. When God lifts you up, stay on top. Doesn't mean you won't have some awkward moments and some frustrated moments. God forbid you may stumble and fall momentarily. But when you get back on your feet, don't run away from Jesus and church and your Christian friends. Run to Jesus. Run to the house of God. Run to your Christian friends. We're not against you. We're for you. I'll tell you something else that praise and worship does. Thank God. Praise and thanksgiving and worshiping God, it binds up the devil. The other night we heard Brother Andrew ministering and he said something that just went off in me like a rocket. You know, if you think about it, the devil really is short-handed. The devil is really short-handed. Remember, only a third of the angels fell from heaven, but two-thirds are still on God's payroll. Now, the devil can't be everywhere at the same time, contrary to a lot of public opinion. So that means that even with all of his demons, he's still short-handed. The devil cannot possibly be doing everything that some of you say he's doing. Now, wait a minute. You say, okay, Pastor, now dig yourself out of that one. Then who or what is causing all this calamity? That can of worms in your head. All Satan has to do, that's why they scrub in the hospital. One germ can impart staph infection. One germ can just absolutely can take a person's life if it's not detected and if it's not acted upon. All Satan has to do is plant a thought in that can of worms in your head. He doesn't have to put a whole lot of worms in there, just one worm will do. And you keep going back and thinking on that same thing that brought you down. That can of worms. Every time you get mad at God, discouraged with life, or ticked off with your fellow believers, you go back to that can of worms. And you crawl into that can of worms. And you let a spirit of offense or a spirit of temptation or whatever the enemy used to... Listen, it's not the devil causing most of your problems. It's that can of worms in your head. It's time we get rid of that can of worms in our head. The devil can't be everywhere at the same time. He's short-handed. He doesn't have enough demons to be everywhere at the same time. Although they are real and though they do appear and manifest and they're causing great problems in some people's lives. But most people that think they have a devil problem have a can of worms problem and they need to let God change their stinking thinking. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you're backslidden. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean that God's mad at you. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to go spend the night in the wrong place. Just because you have a temptation doesn't mean that the blood has lost its power. Just because you have a wrong thought does not mean that the promises of God have become null and void. Yes, I know the devil's real and I know that demonic power is real. But I'm telling you, friends, we oversell this thing time and time again. If there's lust in that can of worms, that thing will turn into a staph infection. It'll kill you. You just keep going back. Every time you get offended, you go back to that can of worms and just crawl in there because you feel so good and so safe. But there's death. There's death. There's death in that container. There's death in that container. Don't go there! That's a term you're hearing. When temptation comes to you, don't go there. When that habit that's formed a bondage in your life and days gone by, when you feel it, when you taste it, when you begin, don't go there. Stop right where you are. Don't you have brakes on your car? When you see a train crossing a track, do you speed up and end your life or do you put the brakes on? Don't go there. When you get offended and you're tempted to be offended, don't go there. One of the greatest revivals in the Metroplex would be people that used to be in somebody's church that got mad about some silly nonsensical thing and they're home surfing television, watching stupid sitcoms, filling their life with more junk than they had before, saying, this is the reason I'm not serving God. There's some things I'm not going there. There's some places I used to go years ago. I don't go those places anymore. There's some places mentally I used to go. I don't go there anymore. There's some places I used to read. I don't go there anymore. There's some money I used to spend. I don't spend money in those places anymore. Don't go there. Praise and thanksgiving keeps the devil bound. I mean, there's a lot of folks, as Brother Hagin said, you can have hands laid on you till every hair on your head's worn off. And until you deal with that can of worms inside of you, there's not a preacher on the face of God's earth that can set you free. He can give you temporary relief, but he can't set you free. I'll tell you the day, the moment, the second you said, I'm going to Romans 8 and no one's going to pull me out. I'm going to camp in Romans 8. I'm building my new house there. If you want to find me, don't look for me in Romans 7 anymore. Don't look for me in Romans 6 anymore. Don't look for me in Romans 5 anymore. I'm going to Romans 8. And I'm going to stay there. And I'm going to deal with that can of worms. I mean, there's some people, really, folks, my heart goes out. I know people have been beat up. I know people have been bruised. I know people have had every conceivable type of thing happen to them. But I see people that have had total disadvantages in their life, and they turn out to be conquerors and faith heroes. Some, it seems, that were born with a silver spoon in their mouth, and they can't even, they just stumble over one foot trying to take another step. Come on. God saved us all to walk straight. God saved us all to be forgiven of every sin. God saved us all to get rid of that can of worms in our head and in our heart. Doesn't make any difference what the color of your skin is. Jesus saved you to bring you out and keep you out so you can bring others out and help keep them out. Don't go there. So an old friend calls you on the phone. You know, I mean, every busy signal in your spirit says, don't even continue the conversation. There's nothing to talk about. But you just keep on talking like Eve just kept on talking to the snake. You don't talk to snakes, you kill them. I don't mean you kill people physically. I'm talking about spiritually. You don't talk to snakes. You don't establish a dialogue with a snake. You don't go to the encyclopedia and try to figure out what kind of snake it is. Honey, if it's a snake, from a grass snake to the most deadly snake that ever crawled through the forest, there's only one good snake, and that's a dead snake. And Jesus Christ has already, once and for all, terminated the power of the evil one. In fact, Jesus said before Calvary, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, that you tread. Thank God we have the power to tread upon scorpions and to take authority over the evil one. See, this world system put Paul and Silas in prison. But the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of praising God, shook that prison until the prison could no longer hold God's people. Now who's bound? Satan. Now who's bound? Satan. Praise sets you free and keeps you free. You wake up in the middle of the night. I mean, I'm just grabbing at some wild for instances because this doesn't touch many of you, but some of you might. I mean, let's just say that there's a desire for the wrong beverage, or you wake up and there's a desire for chemical drugs or whatever kind of drug. You wake up and there's the desire to call the wrong person. There's that desire to pull off in the wrong direction. Don't go there. Just say, I'm free. Jesus has set me free. The blood has cleansed me. I'm free. I'm set free. I don't have to go there anymore. So praise and thanksgiving will keep you free, set you free and keep you free. But number two, praise and thanksgiving binds the devil. It puts him in his place. I said it puts him in his place beneath our feet. Now we look at Paul and Silas. They're no longer bound. The prisoners are free. The jailer's running around for fear of his life. And all kinds of things are happening. You know, when revival happens, it just begins to click. I mean, things happen so quickly, you think, what in the world is going on? But you know it's Jesus. But there's a third thing that praise and thanksgiving will do. It makes God so happy. I'll tell you, I've done enough dumb things to make God unhappy. I'm interested in making God happy. You know, sometimes a child that maybe hasn't been a really obedient child or really hasn't, you know, brought a lot of pleasure to a parent. A parent the other day said, you know, out of three children, one child has never brought me any pleasure at all. That's a sad thing to say. Sad thing to say. Thankfully not in this church, but in another state. But let me tell you something. I want to spend the rest of my life in making God happy. I want to spend the rest of my life letting God know how much I appreciate His goodness and His mercy to me. I want to spend the rest of my life rejoicing the heart of God. And you know the beautiful thing about that? I can do that. There's some things that made God happy in what Paul and Silas did. You know, as a young convert, I just played a little game. I'd take a baby step and I'd say, praise God, I've made God happy. And I'd take another baby step of obedience and I said, I made God happy. You know, some people think if I can't take 14 giant steps. No, you just take little baby steps and say yes to God and no to the devil. And yes to God and no to the devil. And yes to God and no to the devil. And yes to God and no to the devil. You just keep taking baby steps, and before long, those baby steps turn into climbing the mountain. And there you are on the mountaintop of victory. You see, praise makes God so happy. You say, how do you know that, Pastor Nichols? Well, the Bible tells us that God supernaturally shook the entire jail. Now, who did that? The devil didn't do it. The devil put them in bondage. Who set them free? God did. How did God do it? He shook the whole prison. God didn't want to just set one or two free. God's will is to set everybody free. He shook the whole jail. He shook the whole church. He shook the whole body. Come on! The whole place began to shake. Not just where Paul was, not just where Silas was, but the whole jail began to shake. Oh, there were some real bad characters, and there were some that were there, put there falsely, and there were some on every kind of a level. But God looked down and He said, the blood covers it all. You can't tell a testimony bad enough to shake God up. The blood covers it all. The blood covers it all. The blood covers it all. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than any and every sin. The blood covers it all. Little sins, big sins, elephant sins, flea sins. All sizes, the blood of Jesus covers it all. You say, how do you know they made God happy? Because God supernaturally shook that whole jail. Well, there's another way I know that they made God happy. The Holy Ghost power of conviction so moved the jailer that he cried out, sirs. Notice now he has respect for Paul. He's calling him sir. He's not just prisoner 0178910. You see what I mean? But he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So I know it made God happy because God released the power of the Holy Ghost. You that have witnessed know what I'm talking about. You can witness to 1,000 people and it's like talking to a slab of concrete. And all of a sudden you open your mouth and before you can witness, someone says, could you tell me how to be saved? What's the difference? The Holy Ghost has done the pre-working. The Holy Ghost has done the pre-working. Yes, witness, we must win if we can. But I'm telling you, we need to believe God that the Spirit of God goes before us and opens the doors of people's hearts. This is not a mechanical thing. This is not win a few, lose a few. This is not a percentage deal. God has the power through the Holy Spirit of God to open people's hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When they booked him in, they weren't saying, sirs, what must we do to be saved? It was only after there was this giant earthquake. And there was a supernatural eruption. So that's reason number two, I know that they made God happy. And then thirdly, they told them how to be saved. I sure know that makes God happy. You know, it's amazing. Most people don't know how to be saved. Most people don't have a clue how to be saved. You can laugh at the Roman road if you want to, but if that's all you know, it's amazing how far you can go on the Roman road. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death and the gift of God's eternal life. Romans 10:9 and 10, but if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, thou shalt be saved. Talking about the good Lord, hun's not going to get it. That may be a door opener, but that's not the closer. People don't know how to be saved. They know how to turn on a television, turn it off, and so on. But they said, sirs, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We need to tell people how to be saved. Well, they talked about the good Lord. That's okay, but that's not far enough. Well, they had an uncle, third removed, who was a Presbyterian preacher. That's okay, but that's not good enough. You need to be able to tell people how to be born again. When they say, what must I do to be saved? Well, just, you know, just any old church will do. Any old prayer will do. No! Tell them what the Word of God says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. You don't want that paycheck, but the gift of God is the paycheck of eternal life. But if thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou shalt be saved. We need to know how to tell people how to be born again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's a rare memorial service. Don't you ask, don't you leave anything in your will for me to preach your memorial service, and don't tell me not to give any kind of a salvation appeal. I'm just about to the point, I think it's criminal to have a funeral and to have a memorial service and not be able to tell people. You don't have to make people. You don't have to be obnoxious about it. You don't have to be unwise about it, but tell people how to be saved. That may be the last time their heart will ever be tender on this earth. You can give the plan of salvation in 5 minutes and have everybody pray a rededication prayer. Just lead them in a prayer of rededication. Then you got those that have never been born again, now they're saved, and those that need to be rededicated, they're back in fellowship. So that's a good day's work. It's a terrible thing to come and cry over somebody who's died and gone to eternity and not tell them how they can join them, especially if they were ready to meet God. God's dealt with me. In weddings and in funerals, we can tell people how to be born again. We can tell people how to be born again. Being born again is not joining a church. It's not being christened as an infant. It's not going through a catechism. It's not even walking the aisle at this church. You can walk the aisle at this church and not really believe in your heart, and it doesn't happen. But if thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Lord of your life, and if you'll embrace Jesus, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know that made God happy when they so clearly and simply said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it made God happy because the Word of God was preached. The Bible said they exhorted the word. And they spake the word unto him. In verse 32, they spake the word unto him, the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. They spake the word of the Lord. God wants his word preached. I said, God wants his word preached. God wants his word preached. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know their praise. Set them free. Made the devil to be bound in this situation. And as I looked at it, they were baptized in water. Now you say, what's such a big deal about that? Well, it was a big deal because Jesus was baptized in water. Well, I don't think being baptized in water is a very big deal. Well, you just don't understand. You don't understand. Jesus himself came out to John the Baptist. And John saw him, and this man that never stuttered, this man that was Mr. Repentance, I mean this man that would preach to you. I mean, when you heard John preach, you didn't have to say, what did he say? You knew what he said, and you either tiptoed away in your sandals or you humbled your heart and you repented. And this John, who was bold and fearless, Jesus walks up to him, and he said, I almost believe he stuttered. I think he said, behold the Lamb of God. This is the one I've been talking about. This is the one I've been preaching about. This is the one that my life is all about. I'm just a voice, but he's the man. I'm just a prophetic voice, but he's the man. You know, as I look at Jesus going down in baptismal waters, some things happened. You say, what's so important about that? Well, some things happened. First of all, there was an open heaven. When you follow Jesus in believers' baptism, there's an open heaven. There's an open heaven of obedience. There's an open heaven of obedience. There's an open heaven. I don't know if heavens have ever been brass for you. For those that are, you ought to be shouting at this part of the message tonight. I've had enough of that. There was an open heaven. And when they baptized in water in John's day, there was a voice. Thank God for the voice. Well, Brother Nichols, I go to church and my little preacher gives a book report. And, you know, some of us agree and some of us disagree. And it's like one big church is not like one big dialogue, and we come and it's not like a group of intellectuals sitting on a rock of intellect and we're all trying to espouse our theories. Folks, there's one book that says the same message to every one of us. There's not a Baptist book, an Episcopalian book, a Pentecostal book, a Methodist book. There's not a Catholic book. There's only one book. There's only one book, and it has one message, and it's to whosoever will. There was an open heaven. There was a voice. And then there was a dove. There was a cloud. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. When you follow Jesus in believer's baptism, I believe it just opens the heavens. It releases the voice. And thank God, watch out, here comes the dove. The blessed third person of the Trinity. But there's one more that I must give you. I'm talking about praise and thanksgiving unto God sets us free and keeps us free. It makes the devil to be bound. And number three, it makes God so happy. Do you know the Bible tells us, and here it is in the same 16th chapter of the book of Acts. The Bible said he brought them into his house and he set meat before them. There was household salvation. Brother Nichols, I'll tell you, I've sent love mail, I've sent hate mail to my unsaved relatives. I've sent them anonymous letters, tearing them up. I've sent people by to give them a message, and they didn't know who it was that sent them by. I've done everything I know how to do. Why don't you just turn them over to the Lord? There was household salvation. Do you know it's God's will for every member of your family to be saved? It's God's will for every member of your family to be saved. I've had one or two more lately saying, all of our family is now saved. Since we've heard that teaching here in this church. And more people, we're believing to be debt-free. We're believing for all of our family to be saved. And God is reconciling those old, ugly, terrible attitudes and all of those things. God's bringing families together. Isn't it a tragedy we're going to spend eternity together and we can't even get along together here on earth? Come on now. We're going to spend eternity together if we're truly believers. And we can't even get along with our brothers and sisters that we can see. Now, some have done everything you know how to do, and then you have to commit it to the Lord. This is not a voice of condemnation. But I'm telling you that when Paul and Silas begin to praise God and begin to give thanksgiving unto God, an entire household was saved, baptized in water, and I believe they received the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Born again, every sin forgiven. Your sad face is not going to save your relatives. Your sad story is not going to bring your family to Jesus. Telling people how terrible things are. Trying to tell them how hot hell is. You see what I mean? So many ideas that people have. God has His own wonderful, precious way to deal with people. In fact, the Bible said the goodness of God leads men to repentance. Oh, God knows how to just let people become so thankful that they just want to make peace with the one who has brought all of this peace into their life. Well, I'll tell you what, as I look at the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, two men who could have been bitter in their moment of adversity said, let's just praise the Lord. Let's just be thankful. Let's just glorify the name of our God. Let's just glorify God. Praise the Lord. We're limited. We're bound. We're in here. We're falsely accused. But let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. It's time to be thankful. I said it's time to be thankful. It's time to be thankful. It's time to be thankful that things are as good as they are. Listen to me. No one's perfect. Parents do the best they know how to do. Some of the best parents I've ever known have been greatly misunderstood. And some of the worst parents I've known, unfortunately, have been followed into a way of and a life of sin and craziness. There comes a time you've got to shut the door on the back room and go forward. There comes a time when you just have to look away from what happened to me or what didn't happen to me or what somebody said or what somebody did. That doesn't make any difference at all. The difference is made in my life is that there's a nail-scarred hand extended out to me. I mean, you come to me and say, explain to me how a missionary husband would go home to be with the Lord prematurely. I can't. I don't know, but God knows. We could spend the rest of our lives saying, what about this? If we'd only done that. Well, if. We could all play the if game. But what you have to do is thank God that things are as good as they are. Thank God for His presence. Resolution and closure. We close the door, and it takes a little while to do that. But there's only one way to go, and that's onward and upward. Onward and upward. Onward and upward. Satan would like to keep us in the back room of, look what's happened to me. You know, I've about come to the conclusion, almost everybody's family is dysfunctional in some way. I mean, folks, it looks so smooth. I mean, it's amazing how many, if we lined us all up and let the greatest psychologist Even a Christian would analyze this. They'd probably say, you know, I hate to tell you, but there's something dysfunctional about you. But oh, I have good news for you. Jesus paid it all. The blood covers it all. Who doesn't wish you could go back and do some things differently? You're a strange bird here tonight. If you'd say, I don't have anything that I could go back and do. You know, I'm going to lay hands on you suddenly, and you wouldn't want me to do that. I think it's just time we thank God for where we are, where we're going, and where we've been is behind us. I said where we've been is behind us. I mean, there's some folks every time, they won't always want you to get off and have a cup of coffee and tell you how terrible, how terrible, how terrible, how terrible. And you go away and you've lost every ounce of victory that you've got, and you both walk away just wallowing in self-pity. It's like that preacher that was walking across this high bridge, and this man was there, and he said, "Sir, you look so forlorn." He said, "I'm thinking about jumping and killing myself." And he said, "Sir, please tell me your story." So he spent an hour and a half telling him his story, and the preacher jumped with him. That's a joke, but it may not be that far off. I'll listen to your sad story just long enough to say, you know, I think we have a better way to go with this conversation. I met somebody that changed my life, brought me out of strife, and brought me out of that pit, and brought me out of my dysfunctional past. I met somebody that got that can of worms out of my head. I met somebody that gave me victory over my weaknesses. I met somebody that picked me up instead of putting me down. I met somebody that loved me instead of hated me. Oh, let me tell you about my friend. Let me tell you about Jesus. And let me tell you about his power partner, the Holy Ghost. For you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. No, if you want me to wallow with you in your pit, I'm not going there. I don't go there anymore. As a young preacher, I went to pits. I thought if I just go to the pit with them one more time and listen to that story one more time, I'd bring them out. I mean, I was doing good to get home myself. I'm not going into the pit with you, but I'll take you to the mountaintop with Jesus. I'm not going to wallow in self-pity with you. But I'll tell you about my friend. He saves, he keeps, he satisfies. He'll set you free. He'll keep you free. He'll clear your mind. Save you from every sin. We don't sing those songs anymore. We don't go to those places anymore. We don't listen to those stories anymore. That's past. That's past. That's past. Paul and Silas couldn't go anywhere, so they just began to praise and worship and thank God. And before long, they're free, and the other prisoners are free, and the jailer is free, and they had revival. You talk about jailhouse rock. I'll tell you, man, praise God, that jailhouse rocked. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away.